Don't we need to receive? We anticipate the next hour or so, but what we really hope for is a gift that will help us. Maybe we want to know we are forgiven. Maybe we want to feel loved and accepted. I guess we always do. Maybe we want to get some clarity about a dilemma we face. Maybe we want to be given something stimulating to interest us. And maybe we don't have any particular wish or need, and we are here out of habit, or we like the company, or we are just curious. God, whatever we think is our need, we pray that we will leave here as more complete and fulfilled people, able to make our world a better place because we are part of it. That is the gift we want. And really, that turns out to be a gift that is given to you. And now we'll pray together our version here of the Jesus Prayer, which you should have on the laminated card. Eternal Spirit, life giver, pain bearer, love maker, source of all that is and that shall be, Father and Mother of us all, loving God in whom is heaven, the hallowing of your name echo through the universe, the way of your justice be followed by the peoples of the world, your heavenly will be done by all created beings, your commonwealth of peace and freedom sustain our hope and come on earth. With the bread we need for today, feed us. In the hurts we absorb from one another, forgive us. In times of temptation and test, strengthen us. From trials too great to endure, spare us. From the grip of all that is evil, free us. For you reign in the glory of the power that is love, now and forever. Amen. Now at this time, normally there are some children, of which some of them will be dead eager to be picked to come up here and light the rainbow candle, which is this one. The rainbow candle is here to show that everybody is welcome, particularly really children. But anybody want to be an honorary child today and come and light the candle? If not, I shall pick on somebody. Okay, you light the candle. I so rarely do I get the chance to give orders to this person. But anyway, there you are. Now you be careful, don't blow it out after you've lit it. Good girl. Well done. Clever girl. Okay. Well, as there are no children here, but I'm going to sort of just, I don't normally talk to the children because honestly, I have very poor hearing and then they talk back and I can't hear what they say and understand what they say, and it's very embarrassing if you do that. And I'm lucky there are none here. So please, if you're going to talk back to me, do speak very clearly, won't you? Otherwise, I won't know. You see. Now, it's not on the order of service, a gift that St. Andrew's has given to everybody. And this is a letter that was written. And it says, "Hello, everyone. My name is Ahmed. I am originally from Somalia, moved to New Zealand in 2013. I have a young family and I am a father of three children. Before I moved to New Zealand, I was graduated from university with a Bachelor of Arts in Human Resources Management. After I moved, I was enrolled in English classes while I worked as a cleaner part-time in one of Wellington City Council's contractors. But since I was on minimum wage, my income was not enough for our family. I quit English courses and started working full-time. Still, my income was not enough for our family. I picked up another part-time job and it meant I was doing more than 60 hours a week. As you know, when you get paid the minimum wage, it is not enough to get by on. Doing 60 plus hours means I was spending less time with my family. I was missing out a lot in my kids' activities. I couldn't take them to the parks or playgrounds. I couldn't get to their school activities. It was hard. But this has changed when me and other cleaners on Wellington City Council sites started getting the living wage, which is now $20.55. This has changed a lot for me. After a few months, I quit another part-time job and kept 40 hours a week. Now I can spend more time with my kids. I can take them to parks and playgrounds and go to their activities and celebrations in school as well. I am so happy with that. I'm not killing myself. I can relax and spend time with friends, family, and I can also read books. Next step is to chase my dream of going to Victoria University to update my degree, because now I can afford to do that, thanks to the living wage. Living wage has changed my lives for other workers who work with me. Finally, on behalf of all low-paid workers, I'd like to thank you all for campaigning for the living wage. I know this campaign started many years ago. A lot of you worked hard for this day. So Ahmed really is talking to us and saying thank you for that gift that has changed his life. So it's all about gifts this morning. So now I'm going to talk about another gift that I've got here. This one would have appealed more to the children. But as you can see, it is a painting of a giraffe. And actually, I'm going to get you thinking a little bit by saying there's two gifts here. One obvious one and one not obvious one. The giraffe picture was done by our granddaughter Ruby, who comes here now and again, and she's one of these ones who's dead keen to get up the front and light the rainbow candle. She's actually quite artistic. She's a lovely little girl, and she's 12, and she said before Christmas, what would I like as a present? And Linda said, well, a painting would be good. And she said, well, of course, it has got to be of a giraffe. So that's the painting. And it's a very precious painting as far as I'm concerned, because she did it. Now, the second gift that this has is not obvious at all. And I don't think anybody would guess what it is unless you happen to know my family very well. It's got a little RW down there. It's not to do, that's just the way she signs her name, Ruby Wilkins. But the second gift is why it is a giraffe. Now, the gift was given to some of you are laughing, and I think you might know what's coming. But about 35 years ago, when my elder son Andrew was a teenager, he's very good at making up nicknames for people. And I think you can see where this is going, that from then on, he always referred to me as, not giraffe, but giraffe. And so to Andrew, I am giraffe, and I'm saddled with that by the rest of the family now. But it's actually a very special gift. I actually like the family calling me that. It's quite a nice name. So that not very obvious, tangible, not a physical gift, is the other thing that is contained within this. Okay. I shall have to have a look at the order of service to see where we go from here. Well, we're now going to have something that we do very enthusiastic here. We more mingle about and we pass the peace to each other. Matthew is the only gospel to have the story of the wise men, the slaughter of the babies, and Joseph and Mary fleeing into Egypt. I'm going to be talking about gifts, and a little that's personal about the feelings and messages that they contain. Anyway, this story about the wise men in Matthew seems to me to have some very strong undercurrents. Of course, there is the meaning of the gifts themselves. The Magi brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh to Bethlehem to give to the child Jesus. Each of these gifts had practical as well as symbolic meaning. Gold is a present for a king, so represents Jesus being a king. Frankincense aromas have been used throughout time as aids for spiritual transcendence and peace, to manifest really heaven on earth. Myrrh is looking ahead to Jesus' death and burial when it is traditionally used to anoint the body. These same three items were apparently among the gifts recorded in ancient inscriptions that a king called Seleucus II offered to the god Apollo at the temple in Miletus a long time before, in about 243 BCE. The book of Isaiah, when describing Jerusalem's glorious restoration, tells of nations and kings who will come and bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord. That's Isaiah 60. So, as usual, Matthew in particular is well aware of the traditions of the Hebrew faith as well as other legends. Also, as usual, essentially the same stories circulated in the different cultures, nations, and religions at the time. These stories and scriptures were gifts to Matthew, like the wise man's story has been a gift to us. But not all gifts are 100% good for us. Matthew probably has another agenda, and that these wise men came from outside Judaism and actually from outside the Roman Empire. Right at the beginning of the story of Jesus' life, non-Jews recognized him and honored him, whereas Herod the Jew tried to have him killed and, according to Matthew, actually repeated what the Pharaoh did before the Exodus when he ordered the slaughter of all the Jewish male babies. That was Exodus chapter 1. That fits with Matthew's gospel, for he really has it in for the Jews, maybe because he experienced their rejection of Christianity. He put in the saying about, "May the blood of this man be on our and our children's heads," in Matthew 27, when the crowd cried out for Jesus to be crucified. So when I say that things are gifts are not always 100% good for us, it could be said that Matthew's personal pique against the Jews contributed to the persecution of the Jews by Christians over so much of history. However, this story gives us a truth we are largely unaware of, or at least I was. The history of the very early church had it growing eastward beyond the Roman Empire very successfully. Though we tend to focus on Paul's missionary efforts and the eventual Christian center of Rome, actually the first century of the church was very much an eastward movement. In general, Christianity over its first few centuries seems to have been accepted in the East and sporadically heavily persecuted in the West. And then came along the Emperor Constantine, and he changed that in the West. And then there was the rise of Islam, and then that changed it in the other way in the East. Anyway, sufficient to say that Matthew's story about the wise men is typical of all gift giving. There is a whole lot more to it than the actual gifts. Now, what about gifts today? My first observation links Matthew's story and today's reality. It is that Matthew had gifts given to a baby because he was destined to become famous. Well, that never happens today for obvious reasons. There is no reading of the stars. We can't predict the future. But we do give gifts to babies of parents who are famous. For example, Neves, I don't know how to pronounce her name really, but her woolly hat into Papa. That hat was given because she was Jacinda's baby. Presents are also given to heads of state by visiting representatives of other countries. And when ordinary people like us visit our friends, we often take a present. For example, there is this cap that was given to me by Mark and Paul, whom I conducted the wedding for 5 years ago. They came back to Wellington, I suppose, really, I should be more trendy, shouldn't I? It's not me to do that. They came back to Wellington to celebrate their 5th wedding anniversary from St. Louis in Missouri, and Linda and I spent a lot of time with them during this week. So now I have a baseball team to support. They are the St. Louis Cardinals. There is nothing profound or biblically enlightening in the next things I will say, but it may ring bells with you. Now I'm going to get personal about gifts. After all, we've just had the season for gift giving and receiving. When Linda and I send gifts or cards, it's actually Linda who usually sees things on special and knows when birthdays or whatever are coming up and buys things in advance and keeps them under the bed until they are to be dispatched. And there's lots of ladies, I notice, nodding and thinking that's how it works in my household too. Well, though I may help choose the present sometimes, and I often get to wrap it, I sometimes get out my fountain pen and sign the card. Now, that is something that is very personal to me. When I was a small boy, just before my mother died, my mother's fiancé was a member of the British aristocracy. And he sealed his letters with sealing wax, which he imprinted with something that made an impression in the wax, like you see on some historical dramas on TV. And I would love to be able to do that. I would, really. My peasant equivalent is to use my special fountain pen. So when I sign my name or write something to someone using that pen, it is special. And when I say, sign a card to a grandchild, Papa, not giraffe, Papa, with that pen, then it means this is your grandfather and he loves you and he cares about you. I'm going to talk about one or two presents. The first is actually this handbag, which Linda's let me have up here. I gave it to Linda before we went to Egypt for our niece's wedding. I gave it to her, first of all, because I thought Linda could do with a new handbag. And it would be what she would like, and it costs a lot more than she would ever spend. If she was going to get a decent handbag, I had to buy it. That's the point. I wanted her to stand out with something that was proudly New Zealand at that wedding. Over in Cairo, by the way. The funny story is that the bride's mother, our sister-in-law, took one look at this and said, "You can't take that." She brought out a really stupid little silver-coloured thing. We quietly laughed about it. It wasn't worth making an issue of it. And we left the lovely bag at home. Linda took the silver thing to the wedding, and then when we started on our flight home, we chucked it in a waste bin in Cairo Airport. I like things. I'm a thoroughly materialistic man. But when all comes to, the most important thing is the person who gives me the gift. For I look at it and then I think of them. Our home has lots of things like that. Now, this set of drills here was given me by the Waikanae Beach congregation when I left 10 years ago. And those who are into handyman things will just notice that the small ones have all been replaced. Well, that's what happens with small drills. They break and they need replacing. But nevertheless, the set is the one given me 10 years ago by the Waikanae Beach congregation. I think very affectionately about those people. I was fond of all the churches I was in, believe it or not, to varying extents. But that one was special. They were the only church I was minister of who never once gave me any problems that I had to try to sort out. They were a dream congregation for a minister. A couple of weeks before Christmas, I was walking down Jackson Street, and there was Tony sat on the pavement. As I came up to him, he said, "Don't bother with any small change, Norman. Friendship is what counts." So we had a chat about that. Actually, friendship has come to mean more and more to me, and friendship is the greatest gift that I could ever receive. Friendships are far more important to me than any material things. And I would think I'm speaking for all of you if I say a friendship that's gone wrong is about the worst thing that can happen. A gift can even be something like, of course, a nickname, like the one that Andrew gave me, or a silly message on Linda's cell phone, which some of you may have heard. Anyway, concerning real physical things, we all get presents we don't really like. Sometimes because the giver can't think of what to give us. Giving things to old men like me isn't easy. I laugh at socks or underpants. And with the exception of gifts like that painting, the only thing I really want are tools that cost many hundreds of dollars. And I don't get them. There are gifts we give all the time, like our offerings to this parish, or various activities that happen here, like making cakes to raise funds and bring extra enjoyment at Christmas. What goes on inside us when giving and receiving gifts is as complex as human nature itself, and actually it's a good indicator of our complex nature. And that sort of starts to bring God into it. Let's start with what we give to God. I will start with me becoming a minister. God called and I responded. That surely is me giving my life to God. Do you really believe that? At best, it was two-way. It was rather like another little gift we have in our kitchen. It is these electronic scales. They are Linda's scales, for she used to have nothing that would accurately weigh less than 100 grams. So I got them for her from that Chinese outfit AliExpress for all of $6.32 with free postage. That's an advert, I'm sorry, but they'll show that reimburse me. It'll make it worth my while to say that. However, you see, I love gadgets. They are fun for me to play with, and sometimes I also want to weigh things. So you see, gifts work both ways. God's call was like that. I was getting fed up with teaching. And who wouldn't when for the sixth time I would have a class of third formers who weren't exactly desperate to get into maths? Linda said, "You would really like to become a minister, wouldn't you?" And I said, "Yes, but only if someone I really respect comes out and says that I should." Next time I was chatting to our minister, he said, without any prompting from me, "You should go to Knox and train." Now, if I'd not wanted to, I would have brushed that comment off and probably forgotten it, but it was what I wanted to hear. And the reality of it was that I was very happy being a minister. It wasn't really a sacrifice at all, and though anyone who really knew me would have said, "No way, mate, you'll never make a minister," I sort of muddled by okay with a lot of help from my wife. I think we all give our lives to God in some way when we make our offering in a church service. To me, it is liturgically the climax of the service, and the cash and the food are just tokens or signs of that deep personal commitment. I expect that all of you in your own ways, that only you sort of understand, do what you do for others, for example, like support for the living wage, what we can do about climate change, and what we do for this church as a gift to God, however you understand God. And rather like those scales, it isn't all one way, for you probably get a lot out of it as well. So finally, What does God give to us? The early versions of this reflection left out a huge gift because I didn't think of it, which illustrates that I'm not really minister material. It should have been the first thing that came to my righteous mind. It is the foundation belief of Christianity, John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that those who believe in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And I guess we've all heard that. Our faith has told us for 1900 years that the gift God has given us is Jesus, so that we can obtain eternal life. I'm not going to get into that, for I expect we all have our beliefs about the significance of Jesus, and probably more has been written about this and said about it than about any other subject. But I do have an up-to-date example of how the love of God has given us eternal life. I was in the concert given here by the law professionals just before Christmas. It was a fundraiser for help for victims of child cancer, and that is the photo on the order of service, just where it's the reflection is. And it was taken from the balcony just up on that corner when I was sitting next to Lynette and Brian at the concert. Those law professionals are the up-to-date scribes and Pharisees that the Gospels frequently refer to. Interpreting the law was the job of scribes and Pharisees. The modern lawyers gave us, during their repertoire, a rendition of Jesus Christ Superstar. And I sat up there, looking at the cross above them, and in my romantic way, thought, yes, mate, you are a superstar. Your love won that profession round, and they are here now bringing us an experience of eternal life here and now. You won, and you gave us that gift. However we understand God, I think it is fair enough to say God gives us the stuff that we need to be good human beings, which I would say is eternal life here and now. The Christian scriptures, as written by Paul, the author of the letter to the Galatians, says in chapter 5, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. They sound like a fairly good recipe for humankind to rub along okay and generally be fulfilled. However, being personal again, to my ears, they sound rather passive and over good, if you know what I mean. I would like to ask the Spirit for a bit of courage, flair, risk-taking and adventurousness, drive and creativity, a sense of humour, and even a bit of anger in the right place. I guess when we receive presents, even Paul doesn't list at all that I would like to receive as gifts of personality. So, in conclusion, I don't set much store by the financial value of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and that sort of thing. But what counts is the love and respect of people in our lives, given in a myriad of ways, and those gifts of personality that enable us to truly be alive, they are the precious gifts. And now, we'll have our offering, and as the offering is received, we'll listen to a performance of The Three Kings by Peter Cornelius, sung by the choir of King's College, Cambridge, directed by Stephen Cleobury in Carols from Kings 2006. And the soloist is Robert Reed. Okay, our offering will be received.
Thank you.
God, some of us have plenty, and others will be worried about how we will cope in the future. However, we have brought these tangible gifts for this parish and those who need more food. As best we can, we offer ourselves to achieve a better world. Amen. And now this is the time when anyone who has a notice to give sort of briefly about what's happening either in the world at large or in this parish to come forward and do it. And please, if you do, there's not really a rush of people, but announce your name to start with for the benefit of our visitors in particular.
I won't bother going up the front. I'm Brian Burrell. And yes, he was up the back taking that photograph. And yes, he did make those comments at the concert. But more particularly, Norman, you've had a chance to order people around this morning. So I'd just like to ask you to stand. Yeah. Number one, I want to say thank you for becoming a minister, because this morning's service was most enjoyable. But more particularly, at the beginning of the service, he read a letter. And he gave us the honour, and I must admit I didn't do a lot towards the living wage, but he's one of the ones that kept up the push, who kept on encouraging us to come along to meetings, to go out to the hut. So, Norman, thank you for the living wage.
Oh, wow. Well, shall we have our prayers for other people? Shall we pray? Our God, we acknowledge that we are probably very fortunate to be here. We probably have much to thank you for in our lives. But now we think of those who do not. We think of people particularly who are finding things hard over the New Year time, because they lose support, they become more lonely, and their lives are quite empty, maybe, or there are destructive influences that get the upper hand, particularly now. We think of people we know who are part of our fellowship here, who are not here with us. And of course, Susan and Roger come to mind. We thank you for them, and we ask your richest blessing upon them as they have a well-earned holiday. And we call to mind various things that have happened around the world recently. And quietly we acknowledge that there is a lot of need for love and help and support for people caught in destructive circumstances, either of humanity's making or it is just nature. And that calls to mind what we've heard about the threats of climate change. There's not much that we can do as individuals, it seems, but help us to understand what we can do and have the commitment to do it, and to stand behind support and support our leaders so that they can lead our society, our country, the way it should go for a better future for this world. And now, prayers from the book here. For Aroha and her family as they enter employment in a new city, and may their hopes be achieved. And we remember with so much love Fergus Collinson, his enormous zest for life, his creativity, his love and compassion. He was a great spirit, and we miss him. And finally, for John, an old man who lives in Petone, who has broken his back and is confined to now a wheelchair. We pray for him and thank you for the support that he gets from his family. And now we pray the prayer that we have for St. Andrew's. And if you come from somewhere else, think of that faith community as well as praying for ours here. Renew your people, God, and renew our life in this place. Give us a new spirit of unity with all who follow Christ, and a new spirit of love towards all people. Bless the city in which we live, that it may be a place where honest dealing, good government, the desire for beauty, and the care for others flourish. Bless this church, that what we know of your will may become what we do, and what we believe, the strong impulse of our worship and work. Amen. And now nothing is lost on the breath of God.